music was A Day Goes By. It's from an album called Orchid with Xiao Wang. That instrument, unusual, very unusual, is a Chinese lute. This is Sound Health Radio. I'm your host, Sherry Edwards, and this is BBS Radio. We have a special guest tonight, Dr. Elliot Darbin-Joseph, but I have a few announcements. I think there's two tonight. So we'll do those first, and we'll bring Dr. Ben Joseph on. One, I want to remind all of you about the March 14th open house here in Southern Ohio. We have live entertainment. A woman by the name of Mortinette, right off tour from Wild Woman Blues. There will be lots of food, free vocal prints, and appearances by Sylvia Franke, author of The Tree of Life and the Holy Grail, and by Larry Trivieri, author of Health on the Edge. Both of these authors have written a lot about our work here at the Institute of Bioacoustic Biology. So if you want to attend, call Heather at 740-698-9119 to make arrangements to attend. We'll also post that on our site on BBS Radio. And two, we are continuing the diet evaluation vocal program. So if you want to call in and have a diet evaluation done, you can call Bailey at that same number, 740-698-9119, or join us on our Thursday show, Vocal Profiling Live. That's 6 Pacific Time and 9 Eastern on BBS. That's bbsradio.com. Okay, today our special guest is Dr. Elazar Ben-Joseph. I met Dr. Ben-Joseph when I was a guest on his show, Natural Solutions, and we had such a great time. His show was easy to do. His comments were full of information. I learned so much, so I invited him to be on this show. Dr. Ben-Joseph, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry. It is just a pleasure to be on your show.
Well, tell me about your show, Natural Solutions. I know what I did on the show, but what do you cover in general, and how can people listen?
Oh, very good. Thank you for that little endorsement. I appreciate that. My show is on Talk Radio, 690 KTSM. We come out of El Paso, Texas, and it covers El Paso and Juarez and New Mexico and Texas, West Texas. And it streams on the web, so they can go to www.naturalsolutionsradio.com, and we've been on 12 years. And all the shows, there must be 500 shows that are archived, and we do guests where we talk to guests, different book authors. As an example, your work is so profound that I needed my listeners to know about it. We also have call-in. I've been a naturopath for almost 30 years, so people call in and ask, what do they do for their diarrhea or their psoriasis? And you talk on the phone. Let me tell you what some of the things that people ask about on the line. It's quite funny. I'd like to make a comment is that I've been a naturopath, like I said, for 25 years, almost 30 years. And I've been in the health field really my entire life. My father taught judo in the army, and so when I was a kid, I learned judo and martial arts and yoga. And one of the things, I had a skiing accident when I was 18, and I split my legs up the middle and ripped my pelvis. And so I couldn't walk for a good while. And I met way back, this is the 60s now, because I graduated high school in 66, so I'm dating myself here, in Los Angeles. You know, that's a small town in Southern California. And so I met a man at the time, when I wasn't able to walk, Swami Satchidananda, who is one of the greatest Hatha yoga practitioners from India, and he was here in the United States for many, many years. And he told me in his little squeaky high voice, you know, if you changed your diet and you did vegetarian and you did yoga, you would learn to walk again. You know how they do.
That's very good.
And I think sometimes they do too much Kundalini yoga in that high squeaky voice. They're burning out their nervous system or something. And so I did. I changed my diet and really brought my own health back together. I think that's one of the reasons most people get into natural health is they have not been serviced by the traditional. And in all of the years, you know, we've gone from low frequency, you know, where you're touching the body and body work and you're doing exercise or you're giving someone a diet change, to really some of the newer high frequency. I learned Callahan technique back in 1982 and 83. Now it's called the emotional freedom technique, and then polarity therapy with Dr. Randolph Stone, and energy medicine started coming in, and then Rife frequency medicine. And Sherry, I must say that what you were doing with vocal profiling and this entire understanding of energy medicine through the voice is truly cutting edge. And I really, I'm pleased to have been exposed to this. It's been years that I've wanted to get you on the phone and have you on my show, because it truly is the cutting edge of medicine today. Everybody that probably listens to your show knows somewhat about Rife frequencies and all of the new energy medicines. But when you explain that your voice itself has those frequencies and you can voice print, and where you don't have to just go to a book and look up a frequency and say, well, let's treat this, or look up a frequency for an organism, your voice gives that. And it's so profound. And again, my listeners, we had so many calls after that, and I know they flooded your phone call the next day when you said you were going to give some free vocal profiling. So they, you know, must have had 50 calls, I'm sure. And again, it's a pleasure, and I think it is the newest form of medicine. Or let's not call it medicine. Let's call it traditional healing, traditional shamanism. It's almost beyond that. It encompasses everything. And again, I really say thank you for the work that you've done. And one of the quotes that I do in my show is a quote from Albert Einstein, where he says, great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds.
I love it.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, have you had opposition from mediocre minds trying to bring this to the public? So
yeah,
that quote just came right to my mind, thinking of you.
Most of our opposition has been from our own people who wanted to take it and bastardize it to put money in their pocket rather than doing good work for the people. So that's where most of our opposition comes from. And I am very, very happy that you have agreed to take our course, our professional course. I'm very honored by that.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I pride myself in every technique that I've ever, you know, I've traveled around the world. I've studied around the world, maybe just for a few people, a little of my background. I have a bachelor's and master's in science, and my degree was in naturopathic medicine. When I came back from Israel, I was in Israel for 6.5 years, from 1970 through 1976, and when I studied chiropractic and osteopathic, it wasn't transferable when I came back to the United States, so I did a naturopathic degree. And it really has been fortunate that I have studied with just some of the best around the world. I apprenticed with John Christopher, for those who are listening, and iridology with Bernard Jensen and Ray Yancey and Lionel Silver, and body work with Randolph Stone and Major Desjarnais, and just some of the greats on everything. And now I'm pleased to say this newest form of technique, I go right to the person at the top who developed it, and now I'm going to get to study with you on something that I think is just so profound.
Well, thank you. And would you like to take callers tonight?
Oh, absolutely. If they have any kind of questions on health, and one of the things that I was doing that I do want to hope that we can get to is to the what our listeners, especially pregnant women or couples, what husbands and wives can do to actualize the potential of their child using your information on frequencies and using things that I've been developing on embryology and the development of fetuses, of how you can educate your child that's in the belly before they're born. I did this with my granddaughter, who's now 2 years old and 3 months, and she is overwhelming her degree of knowledge and her desire to learn, and doing these things, we're all in utero.
Well, let's give them the numbers, and then we'll talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
The toll-free number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. The number in U.S. and Canada, 888-815-9756. Direct line is 530 866-376-3222. And, of course, you can go to bbsradio.com and pull off those numbers. But you can also email us. A lot of our people email at radio@vocalprofiling.com. Okay, Dr. Ben-Joseph, tell us about this experiment you've been doing with your granddaughter.
Well, you know, with understanding frequency and everything being frequency, and looking at some of the things that you were talking about and what I understand from Rife and understanding, you know, orgone theory and polarity therapy, where everything is energy, there seemed to be a way, and understanding embryology, to enhance the knowledge or the learning systems of the child. So in looking at that, we look at, as an example, how I teach the ladies and the husbands coming in. Of course, it's the responsibility of the ladies. The husbands are there to help them. And I tell them, look, when you get pregnant, first of all, spend, you and your husband, a good 30 days before you get pregnant in a good health and healing consciousness. You know, eat healthy, drink water, and for her, I tell her to start taking, as an example, omega-3 fatty acids from high-quality fish oil. Usually that's been USD pharmaceutical grade, as an example, so there's no contaminants. This is the one time it's actually better to take the supplement than to eat the food, because the food is so contaminated now that you just can't eat fish anymore. So I tell them that, look, spend that full month preparing yourself, getting your heads together, meditating a little on what you're going to do. Then once the fertilization takes place, the next 35 days, it is so critical. And the problem is most women don't even find out they're pregnant until after the 35 days. You know, they'll miss one or two periods and then find out they're pregnant. But the first 35 days, that fetus is developing, meaning all the tissues are differentiating into 200 different types of tissues. And think of that. It goes from that one cell that is so profound to differentiate until it's a teeny, teeny, tiny, miniature human. And at 35 days, it now has everything. And then over the 5th to 11th week, that fetus will get 5 times bigger. So think of the nutrition that is just so critical during that first trimester. So I tell the parents, please be critical on what you're doing, how you're living, what you're eating. And of course, I tell people just don't step on the landmines. You know, nutritional landmines are like drinking soda pop and eating lots of white flour. And I take people off pork products because the DNA of a pig is so similar to human that all viruses that transfer that are in pigs transfer to human. I tell them to not eat shellfish because it's so high viral load, and you just can't get clean shellfish anywhere in the world anymore. So we tell them those are like the landmines. Don't eat margarine. Don't drink soda pop. I even tell them don't drink regular milk. Unless it's organic raw milk, don't drink it, because they're drinking, are you ready for this, Sherry? They're drinking leukemia pus. And now I say that because everybody listening does the exact same thing you just did. They will remember that forever. Because 90% of all cows in the United States that give dairy to the regular dairyans have leukemia. And in 1981, the standards were changed. They used to allow like one part leukemia pus per 100 million parts of milk. And then they lowered that because I guess the farmers were complaining about how they're having to keep things so clean or whatever, that they lowered it to 1 million, one part of leukemia pus to 1 million parts of milk. I used to work in a dairy when I was in Israel, and we did a lot of things. I mean, I had a kibbutz, and I lived and helped to design and build a kibbutz there while I was apprenticing in chiropractic and osteopathic, and I studied Feldenkrais and Alexander and lots of things there. But it was just phenomenal in the sense that the things that you're doing or let me even back up and just get right to what I want some of these women to do, because it's so critical that when they that fetus is developing after that 5 weeks, after that 5th week, and they start going into, into that 4th month. That 4th month, their ears start to develop. And that's where your work comes in, because the ear for the next, during the 4th month and the 5th month, so that 2-month period, the ear is really developing. So what do? I, at that point, give the mother and dad exercises with playing tones to the belly. And there are now pieces of, you can buy computer equipment that attach directly in, to the belly, and where there's a speaker and microphone, and you can listen to what the fetus is doing, the little baby, and you can actually talk. So I have them start out, because the ear is just developing, with just simple tones. Simple tones, and I mean, it's something as easy as you can take the little roller from a paper towels, and you can get a little, even if it's just a good CD player, and you put it next to with tones and flute tones and single clear notes that are really beautiful, and you put that up next to the little tube from the paper towels, and the baby will hear it. And then what you do, you start placing that different areas on the belly so that the baby's consciousness now is listening to sounds other than what it's used to, because it starts to hear, of course, its own heartbeat and mother's heartbeat, and it starts to hear the mother's metabolic sounds, colon and breathing. And those sounds affect the baby. So when you start playing those really beautiful tones and flute music and wonderful melodies, say, from Peruvian flute music and Japanese flute music, very simple, simple tones, and moving it around the belly over that entire 4th month, then the sounds slowly get more and more complicated. And during the 5th month, I have them listening to different classical musics and heart rates that speed up and slow down, so they begin to actually control their own metabolism. And that those sounds, again, get more and more complicated during that 5th month, until by the end of the 5th month, you're playing wonderful classical music, and the baby will just respond to that music. Now, at the 5th month, the eyes start to develop. So the frequencies, these frequencies start to come in. So now what do? Is I tell the mom and dad, and they do this every day at the same time. I have them pick a time every day. And so they do it, and the baby knows it's like it's learning time. It starts, its entire consciousness knows that mom and dad are there teaching it already, as opposed to it just being haphazard, that 9 months is usually just haphazard with most women and men. And when the baby's born, that's when things, it's having to learn on its own. So now we start shining these single lights. And you'll take a flashlight, a nice white LED flashlight, so that the it's nice and white, and it's not real hot. And you shine that flashlight on the belly, and you turn it on and turn it off. Turn it on and turn it off. And then you start moving it around the belly, turning it on and turning it off, because then the baby's eyes start to move. And are you familiar with neuro-linguistic programming, Sherry?
Yes, and I'm fascinated by this. Did the baby start to move around?
Absolutely. And they'll move in time with the music, as an example, like they're dancing. And once you start doing the lights, now you're moving their eyes. And remember, how we process memory, how we bring recall to the surface, meaning everybody has perfect memory, it's that recall that we have trouble with.
Yeah. Well, can the light get through those thick muscles?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, my gosh, it's like being underwater. Have you ever been underwater? You could see.
Yeah.
Or even now, if you're in a lighted room, a lit room, close your eyes and move your hand in front of your eyelids, and you'll see. That you can. It's just a little light. The baby can tell when mother goes outside, when she's in a dark room. Absolutely. So now you start shining this flashlight, and again, to process memory, the eyes move in one of nine directions. So it can either move when the eyes are looking up and up side to side, the brain is processing vision. When the eye is moving straight ahead and side to side, the brain is processing sound. And when the eye is looking down and side to side, the brain is processing feelings. So you start moving the light, this on and off light, in these different positions so that baby, wherever she is or he is, has to move their eyes. Then they even start to anticipate, where is the light going to be? Now, again, this is all occurring during the fifth month. Then in the sixth month, the eye starts to really differentiate colors and becoming more and more developed. So again, now what you do is start using different colored lights that come in. And my little Alita knew all the colors when she was born because we took the different color flashlights and showed her red and yellow and green and blue and orange. And then when she was born, we would go into a dark room and shine the flashlight, the same one, so she would see that was the color while we tell her. And again, you're talking to baby the whole time, and baby can certainly hear mother's voice. And if you have the good computer equipment, baby can hear dad's voice also. So now you're getting these colors that are a little bit more sophisticated because they're different colors. Now, as you get through that 6 months and you start that second week and third week of the 6 months, I've created something new, and that's where you can get like a little lotion or an electrolyte gel on the belly so that you can now take the lights, and you do different colored lights, and you'll put it on the belly, turn it on, and then move the light across the belly in a different geometrical shape. So the eye will follow the flashlight during the development. So now you'll do triangles and circles. You'll do both curves and straight lines because one side of the brain is curves and one side of the brain is straight lines. So you'll do, at one point, you'll do figure eights and you'll move the light, keeping it on, in a figure eight. And baby will follow that with their eyes. Then you might move and do a spiral, but they're curves. Then you do lines, maybe a square, triangle, parallelograms. So you alternate between curves and straight lines, and by using the different colored lights, baby's eyes move in those patterns. So think of what happens once baby's born and you show them those triangles and squares and parallelograms and spirals and figure eights. Now baby will look at those, moving their eyes to see that pattern, and it instantly is recognizable and the memory is there of what that meant. And now they put the association to that.
Is there any warning against using a laser to do this?
Yeah, I probably would not. I've never used a laser. A laser would be pretty bright and hard. And you're moving the light, so it's never shining in one place a long time. So, you're going to take, I would imagine, safety precautions would be, those are like, it would be automatic. I hope anybody doing this would think about that. But that's a good safety point. Yeah, don't use a laser. And again, that the regular light is going through. It's got to go through the skin and the muscles and in through the liquid. So it's going to be diffused somewhat. Now, also during the fifth month, taste starts to develop, and smell starts to develop, and touch starts to develop. So then, really, that's kind of more during the middle of the fifth month, 6 months. And so what I usually do there is I have mother do different tastes. One day, use more salty things so that you'll eat your meals that day with, and I use Celtic salt as an example, which is dehydrated seawater. So make the tastes a little more salty. Another day, they might be sweet. And again, the sugars that I use are xylitol or raw honey or raw maple syrup, sorghum and molasses. Then another day might be spicy, like cayenne and peppers and garlic. And another day, so you start picking different flavors, and again, in the beginning, they're a little more intense, and then over a period of time, again, that sixth and seventh month, they become more and more subtle, the flavors, and that's where gourmet cooking comes in. So baby will taste these and feel these. And one of the things that I can even back up with, you know, essential oils. Do you ever use essential oils?
Yes, I'm thinking, too, that since it's touch, you might want to use drumming.
That's absolutely. Well, we do tapping. Once memory starts in the 6 months, then we do tapping and teach them mathematics. And she was able to count to five before she was born. I mean, you'd say three, she kicks three. You'd say one, she kicks one. And so you can do that starting at, again, that fifth, five and a half, 6 months you start doing after you've been doing the sounds and they get used to the voice. So how you teach it math is you'll say, okay, and I would talk to my little baby, okay. And, of course, I said, now remember, this is Grandpa. Remember Grandpa's voice because I'm going to spoil you forever and ever. And, you know, I had to tell her that. That's my job description, is to spoil her. And,
I recently saw a Discover show that proved that babies are hardwired for math from the time they're born. Now you're saying from the time they're conceived.
Absolutely. And how you do that is how I did it. I would say, okay, baby, now here's one. And I would tap on my belly, one. And then I would say two, and I would tap twice. Or three, tap on my daughter's belly. Hello, what am I saying on my own? And then tap three. And you would do that every day, about 10 minutes. One, two, three, three, two, one, two, three, one. Over and over. And after 2 weeks, you'd say three, she kicked three. You say one, she kicked one, and then we went to five. So it's the process is there that for them to learn and memory. So now that at 7 months, they start with memory. So up until that 7th month, they are learning, 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 and it's ingraining in them. And so one of the things that I've instituted is back from the very beginning, that first 35 days again, I have them pick 3 different essential oils that they really like. One essential oil to get up. When they wake up, they immediately smell this nice essential oil. And when mama smells those essential oils, those volatile oils go into the nose and goes into the bloodstream, and baby can taste those oils and knows that there's a chemical change in mother's body and knows that those oils have brought about a change. So I have her pick one always for waking up in the morning. I have her pick one for meals. You smell this right before you eat a meal. And then always pick one very nice to go to bed. So you smell that right before you go to bed. This will instill a chemical memory, especially starting at the 6 months. They really start remembering because this chemical taste, they're now tasting much more. So you can do that. Now I have them also pick an essential oil for the sound learning so that they know they're going to be hearing things. Then there's one for the mathematics and one for the light. So there's one for sound, one for vision, and one for touching. And I'm going to incorporate the that little drumming like you're talking, but we do a lot of massage and that kind of touching, especially when baby's born. So these techniques, it's phenomenal because I'll never forget when I was right there at the birth with my daughter. And, of course, had her all in a whole nice health program. She had a 45-minute labor. 45
wow.
Minutes. Yeah, nice, isn't it?
Yes.
So,
yes, definitely.
It was, you know, you do the right herbs, and there's some just really good herbal combinations and good companies out there. And so.
And this was the first baby, 45-minute labor?
Yeah, that was her first baby.
Wow.
Yeah, and my first granddaughter, my first grandchild. So, you know, and here's another thing that I would suggest to all mothers listening and all husbands that are going to at some point want children. Do not let the hospital cut the cord for at least 3 to 4 minutes or until that cord stops pulsating. Once it stops pulsating, it's just like a butterfly's wings. Even though that butterfly maybe gets out of the cocoon, It can't fly until the wings fill up with blood and dry. So even though baby takes its first breath, it doesn't mean that the alveoli in the lungs are all full. And you know that it's full and ready to change when the cords turns white and stops beating. And then I have them save that cord blood that's in there because it's very good blood that at some point, maybe in the future, they need it. So keep that umbilical cord attached, and you make them write it on the orders. You make that doctor write it on the orders, and if the doctor won't do it, get a new doctor. I mean, that is critical, and it's there's studies in Sweden that showed 15-point IQ difference between that immediate, you know, clamp, snip. And I'm serious, it's really, it's profound for their mental health. And there's just so many things, and these things that they can do. But when that baby was born, and, you know, after they cut the cord finally, and the nurse took the baby and put her on the little table to clean her up, so I was there on my knees with my hand held over her eyes so that she kept her eyes open. The reason they close their eyes, it's so bright in the delivery rooms. And have you ever been in a really dark room for a long time and you come out into a bright light and your eyes hurt?
Absolutely.
And that's what a baby feels. So, you know, I said, keep the light. We demanded that the lights were low in the room. And then I held my hand over her eyes so she could keep them open. And then I was right by her ear and I whispered, "This is Grandpa." And, oh, my gosh, she immediately, like, turned her head and looked me right in the eye. And the nurse said, "Oh, my God, she recognizes your voice. She recognizes your voice." And I said, "Of course, I've been talking to her." I was, like, melting inside, Sherry. I was melting. I just couldn't. And now, oh, I can't believe it. She just loves Grandpa because I just, you know, you spend time with your children teaching them. They want to learn everything. And a lot of parents just, they think when they're doing the mundane things around the house that they want someone, you know, have the child stay out of the way. And it's not true. The mundane things are what they want to learn. And I'll give you an example. About 3 weeks ago, my son-in-law and my daughter were not feeling very well, so it was Sunday morning. They called me up and said, "Grandpa, come and make breakfast for Alita. We're not feeling well, and she's up and ready to play." So I said, "Absolutely." I instantly threw my clothes on, drove over there, and I'm so fortunate they live here in El Paso where I am, so I get to see my granddaughter. So I went over there, and the first thing I saw, oh, my gosh, the kitchen was a mess, and how do I make food? It's like a mess and everything. So what I did is I got her little high chair, and I put it right in the middle of the kitchen, and then I proceeded to clean the kitchen, explaining to her every single thing I did. I showed her how to do the pots and how to take the soap and how I squeezed it. And then we made breakfast, and I made her, and I showed, we only use as an example, I would suggest for everyone, omega-3 eggs. If you're going to eat eggs, make sure they're omega-3, not regular eggs. And that's, again, because of the oil, the omega-6 to omega-3 ratio. You really want a 1-to-1 ratio, and most of the eggs are about a 30-to-60-to-1 of omega-6 to omega-3. So I showed her how to crack the egg, and she sat there in that chair totally enthralled for 2.5 hours while I cleaned the kitchen, made breakfast, and then cleaned up afterwards because she was involved in everything that I was doing, as opposed to, "Can't you keep them quiet? I'm cleaning the kitchen."
Dr. Ben-Joseph, you skipped the last trimester. What do we do then?
Okay, the last trimester, that's that month when we're really looking at that month, 7, 8, and 9. That's when memory is going. So now everything that you did with sounds and with the complicated sounds and then the lights, now you're doing them. Now the memory is, now they know what you're doing. And now they're actually learning things. And that's when we started doing more specific sounds. I taught her the alphabet. I would say A, apple, B, buh, boy, and go through the alphabet constantly like that. And then my daughter did it in Spanish, you know, like we would count in Spanish and in English. So she's 2 years old. She can count to 20 both in Spanish and in English. And So that last trimester is when you're doing these things over and over again, and you're doing it in such a learning mode, and you can read things to them, talk to them, and it is quite amazing. That's when you can tell stories, as an example, and just everything you're doing to them, they're enthralled, and they will be awake. And they're into learning. And when they're born, it is amazing because you will have a non-fussy child. They won't cry unless there's really something wrong. And they will be into learning everything that you do and wanting to be involved. And they are a different children. Now, once she was born, now one of the things that I teach parents to do is baby will emulate you. And her vision, or the child's vision, for the first 3 months, is only about 2 feet. It's enough from mother's breast to her face. That's what baby can really focus on, that distance. Okay, so you can really do things while mom is nursing. You move your tongue in different positions, and baby will try to do. So you stick your tongue out. You move it side to side, up and down, so you start teaching. Baby will do that so that they learn to speak faster because they learn how to control their tongue. Then you do things with your lips like wow and ooh, and baby will do that with their lips, and Alita did it, so that, again, she's learning to move and control the muscles of her tongue and her lips and her face, and you can continually do that. And then what you do is you sit there with her with your fingers, because their sense of touch is developed, but they don't know how to control their hands and fingers, so they grab things, you know, just with their whole hand. Well, you can start very young where you're sitting and watching, and you take, like, your thumb and first finger, and you touch, and you take your thumb and second finger, thumb and third, and thumb and pinky, and you just touch your hands, and so you're showing the baby how to touch with their fingers, and then baby starts doing that, and their control. Little Alita is 2 years, at 2 years old, she was able to take a needle and thread, and thread a very small bead. We would put the thread into the needle for her, but she can take that needle and thread it to a very small bead and actually thread a string of beads at 2 years old.
That's kind of amazing. It sounds like you're a very proud grandpa.
Oh, God, I can't believe it. I'm so proud. And, I wish this kind of thing, and it's known, I'm sure it is, I wish this kind of thing would be given to the public. But when you look at media and politics, and especially health politics, we do everything we can to dumb down society. And one of the things I learned, you know, I've been involved in all these underground political and conspiracy this and that. And, you know, you go back, one of the things we did is I've been involved with different groups to learn about a lot of this underground politics. And if you go back to 1908, when the foundations were started, Oppenheimer and the Carnegie Foundation and the Rockefeller and the Ford Foundation, they divided up the school systems. And in their charters, it actually states, and it's amazing, if somebody ever, if they email me, I can send them a lecture by Norman Dodd, who covered, he was part of the Reese Commission in 1953 to investigate what the foundations were doing with their money, the un-American activities. But in that original, on their minutes, it specifically states, we do not want good thinkers, we want good workers. So they've done everything they can to dumb down society, to have people that will just go to work, come home, eat your TV dinner, watch a reality game show, go to sleep, wake up, and do it all over again.
Tell people how to get in touch with you.
They can get in touch with me. Well, if they wanted to call my office, it's 915 area code 833-9999. I got that so I would remember the telephone number. they can always email Eliezer@naturalsolutionsradio.com. And they can go to my radio show. I have 22,000, almost 23,000 published articles on my website having to do with everything from health to 95% of it is health, and then some on the Constitution. I am a constitutionalist. And
tell them how to spell Eliezer.
E-L I-E-Z-E-R. And last name is Ben Joseph with a hyphen. It's an Israeli name.
And you have something written up about what you did with your daughter?
No, I just this was all in my head, and now I've got to... Everybody's told me I have to write this down, because it's too important not to have this.
Absolutely it is. We have several questions that have come in, and we only have about a little over 10 minutes left.
Well, I'll take any questions someone would like.
One of them... Let me find it here, because there's so many. Well, while I'm finding this, let me tell you a story, and we'll start on another subject here. We had a girl here that was pregnant, and we followed her all through her pregnancy with sound and gave her all the nutrients she needed. And we were with her in the delivery room, and it only took, this is her first baby, only took her 3 pushes. And on the 3rd push, the nurse was standing by her head and said to her, "You do want your child vaccinated," and here Jessica's pushing and grunting.
Oh, and don't do it. Do not do those vaccines, those hepatitis B vaccines.
Well, the nurse, as Jessica was grunting, she said, "Okay, I'll take that as a yes." And Jessica wasn't paying a bit of attention to the nurse.
Oh, of course not. She's in pain.
Well, she wasn't in pain. She laughed all the way through this.
Oh, my God, she was pushing. That's what she...
But we... supported her connective tissue, and selenium was a big one for her. But I went over and said to her husband, "Do you see what that nurse just did? She got Jessica to agree to this vaccination, and they had made it very plain that there was going to be no vaccination."
Yeah, we did not let our little granddaughter have any vaccination, and I made sure that she did not leave my sight because they wanted to take her in the other room and clean her up. And I do not believe the medical profession nowadays. I mean, it's really difficult to believe the medical profession nowadays. When you go back in history, oh my gosh, up until 1860, 1870, if you were an MD in the AMA and you got caught washing your hands, you were kicked out of the AMA. I mean, so you look at the 20s, what were doctors telling everyone? Don't use breast milk, use formula. I mean, and for 50 years, doctors have been saying to use hormone replacement therapy. Doctors said to eat margarine. Doctors said to use, you know, these derivative omega-6 oils. I mean, everything doctors have been telling us, they've been lying.
Here's the question that was sent in. I've heard that inflammation is the root of a lot of diseases. What is your opinion?
Absolutely. That is the beginning. When you look at... homotoxicology is an example, you'll see that every known disease comes from 2 things first, and that is either you're deficient in something or you're toxic in something or a combination thereof. And most of the time, people, because of what they're eating and they're causing such metabolic overload on some things and metabolic deficiencies on other things, and they're being assaulted constantly, their bodies are being insulted inflammatory. And we see that on a blood. I do live cell. I've been doing live blood analysis since 1983. Not too many people have been doing it that long. And you see inflammation immediately in the blood. And either someone's blood changes in that 2 weeks or a month when they come back, or they didn't do what I said, or I said the wrong thing, but it's very rare I say the wrong thing.
Well, here is another question that goes right along with this, and it's a very long email, and essentially she's saying there's a lot of cold and flu going around, and at the first exposure or the first feeling she has that she might get a cold or a flu, she starts immediately to eat alkaline food, and she can feel her body change within an hour.
Absolutely.
What do you think about that, and what can you tell people?
Now, alkaline and acid, very, very good question, because all food, and when they talk about alkaline and acid, sometimes it's confusing, because it's not the alkaline or acid in the food itself. Like a lemon is an acid, but it produces an alkaline reaction. Do you know when you have a barbecue or a fire in your fireplace, after the logs or the coal burns, there's an ash that's left over?
Mm-hmm.
When we say acid or alkaline, that's what we're referring to. That ash that is left over is either acid or alkaline. So things like lemons and limes and grapefruits, even though they're acid, they produce an alkaline reaction. Now, a human diet, most, and again, depends where you live and what the season is and things like that, but generally, you want to eat anywhere, depending upon the season, 50 to 70% of your diet, fresh fruits and vegetables and cooked vegetables, which are all alkaline. All grains, animal products, dairy products, beans, seeds, nuts, everything else is acid, and we want as much to 50 to 70% alkaline forming. And yet, if you look at the average American diet, it's probably 70% acid forming. So it's reversed. And she is correct on that. Do an alkaline diet.
Did we answer Alfred's question about how to get rid of inflammation?
Well, the things to do is don't do the landmines. Now, there are things that help, enzymes, protease enzyme as an example, but making sure you have enough CQ10 and vitamin E and the good antioxidants, fish oil, again, is an anti-inflammatory, superoxide dismutase is an anti-inflammatory, so there's a lot of things. I want people to take a good multi, a good B complex. I think everyone should be taking CQ10 vitamin E, and that's the mixed vitamin E with the tocotrienols, alpha, beta, gamma, delta, both tocopherols and tocotrienols. So, you know, the newest nutrients, pycnogenol and grapeseed extract and bilberry extract, these are all phenomenal fruits. Elderberry extract, these are all. And I like food form kinds of things. So those are all anti-inflammatory. The biggest inflammatory response that people get is from what's called eating too many omega-6 oils, omega-6 derivatives, corn oil and Wesson oil and safflower oil and mazola oil and all of these oils that are terrible. You want to cook with butter or good cold-pressed coconut oil or olive oil and on your salad dressings.
In peanut oil and that 6 too?
Yeah, you could, if it's cold pressed peanut oil. Peanuts are not so good to eat, but peanut oil is actually usable and is a good oil. And then flax oil, sesame oil, sunflower seed oil in a mixture with to make your salad dressings. And then you're gonna, if you lower the omega 6, like I said, even in eggs, most eggs are about 30-60 to 1 omega 6 to omega 3, highly inflammatory. Beef is highly inflammatory unless it's 100% grass-fed. Then it's anti-inflammatory. Same with chicken. You want hormone-free chicken. So salmon is a very good an example because regular farm-raised salmon, the fat is omega-6 because they feed it corn. Now, where would a salmon eat corn in the wild? Yeah, it's going to swim through the cornfield.
We've got less than 5 minutes or so. I'm going to read you the questions, and then you can choose which one you want to answer.
Oh, sure. Or just read them one at a time, and I'll answer them quick.
Could you talk about ancient Jewish traditions of healing?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the Essenes, when I studied in Israel, I lived with the Bedouins, which they did. Have you ever seen, like, in a what a punk is when you're lighting firecrackers? Do you know what that is?
No.
A punk. It's a long, it's like a stick of incense, and you light that, and then you use that to light firecrackers and things. You know what and you can imagine what it is. It's called a punk, is what they, and they use these sticks of incense and actually burn geometrical little teeny on acupuncture points around the body, and it was amazing because they correlated two different acupuncture points. Of course, in the ancient Jewish traditions, especially when you read the Essenes, they used things like enemas, and they had you make sprouted bread, and they had you use clean water and eat, and they called it the angel of fire and the angel of water. They had you soak your seed in the angel of water and then let it sit in the sun so that the angel of fire could go into it, and it would sprout so that the angel of life entered into the grain. Then you made your bread. What does that sound like? Sprouted bread.
Mm-hmm.
And they had you take a gourd the length of a man and hollow out its innards, fill it with water, and hang it from a tree and allow the end of the gourd to touch your hind parts and allow the water to flow into your hind parts and then allow the water to fall up, come back out, and you will see all manner of demons and serpents and foul and smelling things. That's an enema.
Yeah. And that's how we could do a whole show on this.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here's some of the other questions. And you can't answer these in 5 minutes, but you can choose whichever ones you'd like.
Okay.
What do you think is the number one health crisis facing Americans, and what can we do about it? For people who come to your clinic, what kind of health issues do you see, and what do you do about it? What do you think about vaccination? We answered that one. What is the war in the Middle East really about?
Oh,
Hillary's health care plan, please comment. Blanket immunity for drug companies. What does state of mind have to do with your health? Why did you go into healthcare? What's your personal story? What's wrong with allopathic medicine? Are you available for lectures and workshops?
Yes, I'm available for lectures and workshops. And when they come to my clinic, it's 100% everything. I see really serious conditions now, mostly, from Lou Gehrig's to lots of cancer to autism. And one of the nice things, we do hyperbaric oxygen. And in my clinic, children under 15 are treated free. They parents just pay for the first consultation, but all therapy is free in our clinic. We do that as a service. And so we see everything from arthritis to lupus to almost everything. And really, everybody responds. Everybody responds. If they do what we say, and they don't even have to believe it. Most of the people come in are desperate, and you always see somebody that's already been everywhere. And they do respond and respond very well. I think I have one of the best AIDS programs in the country, hepatitis programs, cancer. I've been here. And as a naturopath, I studied just all over the world. I lived in India in a temple in the Himalayan mountains. I studied Egyptian hermetics, Ayurvedic medicine, Chinese acupuncture. So I'm fortunate to have done all of that, so I utilize all those modalities in the clinic. We have far infrared. We do thermography. Ladies, please, if there's one thing you take from this show, do not get a mammogram. Get a thermogram. Thermograms will look at and diagnose breast cancer 7 to 15 years before a mammogram. So please find some place that's a thermogram. Do not get a mammogram. Mammograms cause cancer. I have an article right in front of me that's this is from International Agency for Research on Cancer, printed in the Journal of Clinical Oncology. This is, and it says mammograms boost cancer risk, breast cancer by 250%.
Oh, is that on your site, along with all those other testimonials you have?
Oh, yeah, there's lots of... they can go to Women's Health, or they can go to Cancer, and all these articles are published. Everything that I quote is all published on there. If they have difficulty finding anything, they can email radio@naturalsolutionsradio.com or webmaster@naturalsolutionsradio.com or eliezer@naturalsolutionsradio.com, and we will get their questions answered.
Okay, and I will post that on our comments when we post information about this show. Give them your website again where they can find this information.
Yes, www.naturalsolutions with an S, radio, naturalsolutionsradio.com. And it's, like I said, it is a huge resource, has 23,000+ articles on it, and we publish every day. So, and then all my radio shows are archived on there. Hopefully there was a little technical stuff that the web people fixed, but it should all be online now.
Well, we need to have you back to answer the rest of these questions. I'm interested in how people connected. What's the war in the Middle East really about?
Oh, wow. Listen, I lived there to, you know, like I said, 6.5 years. And people don't realize what's going on in there. And I we could talk about that. That's a whole show unto itself.
We will plan to do several. We're out of time. Please be sure and join us for Thursday's show on BBS Radio, Vocal Profiling Live. That is 6 Pacific and 9 Eastern. And absolutely jump on Dr. Ben Joseph's site. Get in touch with him if you live near him. And we'll see you next week.